Profiles in Teaching with Technology is a podcast series created by Music First, a company dedicated to providing world-class cloud-based tools, content, and classroom management platforms to music teachers around the world. Each episode features a K-12 music educator who uses technology to enhance their teaching in innovative ways. We'll discuss the what, why, and how of their technology integration and hopefully share some teaching strategies that you can use in your own classroom. For more information about Music First, please visit www.musicfirst.com. There you'll be able to find out about all of our platforms, as well as sign up for a free 30-day trial. Annie Ray currently serves as both the Orchestra Director and Performing Arts Department Chair at Annandale High School in Fairfax County Public School System in Virginia. Annie is an advocate for providing universal access to quality music education and is known for founding and developing creative opportunities to make music accessible to students of all demographics. Her establishment of the FCPS Parent Orchestra teaches about 200 caregivers annually to play their students' instrument and provides mentorship to upcoming music teachers. Annie also developed the Crescendo Orchestra program to make orchestra curriculum accessible to students with significant developmental or intellectual disabilities. In January 2022, this program was featured and acclaimed on the cover of the Metro section in the Washington Post. TEDx invited Annie to give a talk in April of 2022. Sounds of Success, based on her approach in the classroom and how to meet students where they are at. She has presented at numerous colleges and national international conferences and was named the 2024 Grammy Music Educator Award recipient and the 2023 FCPS Outstanding Secondary Teacher of the Year for her work on equity in education. Annie is a member of the Stringrise Professional Development Team, and her mentors include Dennis Langevin, Brian Coatney, Dr. Elizabeth Chappell, Dr. Jamie Hafner, and Naoko Nakamura. She is an active performing harpist and currently resides in Arlington, Virginia with her husband, Dr. Irving Ray, and their daughters, Eloise and Millie. Annie is an adventurer at heart, and her biggest bucket list item is to one day win the Amazing Race. So this week on the podcast, and as part of the celebration of Music in Our Schools Month, I am so excited to have our first ever Grammy Music Educator of the Year Award recipient, Miss Annie Ray. Annie, welcome, and thank you so much for taking time. I'm sure you get these kind of requests all the time because of your, you know, the award and all that comes with it. So thank you for taking the time out of your school day to chat.
Oh my gosh. Thank you, Jim, for having me. No, I love all of these opportunities. I'm a connector. I love connecting with people. So it's been a great opportunity.
Awesome. So the way I start out all the podcasts, Annie, and before I start asking you some specifics about your experience with the Grammy organization, I start out every podcast with the opportunity for the teacher or for the guest to kind of go over their career path in like a 5 to 10 minute, you know, how you got started in music, like all the way back, and then how you got, through your university, becoming a music ed major, and through your career. So if you could do that and give us the Reader's Digest version, that would be fabulous.
Awesome. Okay, so back in the day, when it all began, so I come from a music family back in Texas. We're from the Dallas area, Plano specifically.
I have to stop you immediately. I went to North Plano High School, like the Mustangs or something. Are you in that area?
I went to Plano East.
Okay, Plano East. All right. By the way, I've mentioned that on the podcast episode before yours. Going to Plano and seeing 6 band directors in one high school. I'm sorry to interrupt you right now.
No,
great people, area of the country.
Fantastic. And like, I always reflect on that. I was so fortunate and lucky to come through that music system. And they have just great things happening there. And I was so lucky, actually, I'll mention that again, to return there for student teaching. But to give the whole origin story, come from a music family. My mom's a classically trained pianist. She started me on piano when I was 3. And I started harp when I was 5 with Nako Nakamura. She's the harpist for the Dallas Wind Symphony, and she also is a faculty at Southern Methodist University. Just a second mom to me, an inspiration to me in so many ways. So really have been in the music scene for as long as I can remember. And my mom is an identical twin, so it's really fun that I have two cousins, girls, who are also musicians and professional musicians now. So we are raised practically as sisters.
Wow.
But my aunt and uncle are orchestra director, band director. My grandmother, the matriarch of us all, it was a pianist, and she specifically had a knack for jazz piano. And so that's the crew. And my brother is a percussionist and guitarist, so we're all music people. So went through the Plano school system, and I had the great fortune of having Dennis Langevin at Hendrick Middle School as my orchestra director, and he is what sparked that desire for me to become an orchestra director, just because of the his classroom and the environment that he created. And so I knew that going all the way through high school, went through the Greater Dallas Youth Orchestra programs. Did all the things, and then ended up finishing my degrees out at University of North Texas, where I did a harp performance major and harp performance major and a music ed major.
That's
So
awesome. University of North Texas, for listeners that don't know, is one of the best music programs in the country. And specifically, I know a lot of the jazz folks that came out of UNT, and a whole bunch of my friends went there too. I'm sure we have lots of common acquaintances. So you got your music ed degree from UNT, and then, stepped into teaching.
yeah, so I was so lucky. I studied harp performance there with Dr. Jamie Hafner, and then I studied with Dr. Elizabeth Chapel for music ed education. And then I stepped into student teaching with Brian Coatney, who was originally at Plano Senior High School. Now he's at Wiley. And then I also got to return to be with Dennis Langevin as well,
Oh, cool.
which just really shaped so much of my philosophy. And I say this in my like Grammy acceptance speech, but I have so much to thank them for. Like, my entire program is modeled after Dennis. And like, when I was accepted or I was given this award, I was like, but this is I'm just taking everything he taught me and putting it there. And then also combining that with the masterful skills of Brian Coatney, who's a former TMEA president, who taught me how to just be fearless, how to just have confidence in who I am. And so I thank them both so much, like, for the mentorship and time that they've poured into me and have continued to pour into me. So yeah, that's how I ended up in the music ed scene.
Now, how did you get from, because for a lot of guests that I've interviewed that are from Texas, never leave Texas. It's like its own kind of entire community. So how did you get from Dallas, Plano, over to Virginia, where you are now?
That's such a great question. I mean, this is like the music powerhouse of the country, right? Is
Right,
like in
absolutely.
Texas. And so I always envisioned myself being there, but my husband, Dr. Irving Ray, he won a euphonium job in Pershing's own United States Army Band. And
Oh
if
my God, that is so cool. I had no idea.
yes, and he is just an incredible musician, and he also has his music ed degree. So it is like the best thing to just come home and be able to bounce ideas off with him. And so a lot of like my brainstorming happens with him when we're walking the dogs and the two girls around. And so he deserves a lot of credit for this as well. But yeah, he won a job in Pershing Zone, and as a euphonium player, like this is
It's
like
the
this.
ultimate gig. There's the President's Own, Pershing Zone, and maybe some of the other military bands, but that is it. That is the cream of the crop gig. That is amazing.
Yeah. And so off we moved, and we moved in the middle of the year. So in January, and I moved here in the middle of the year to Fairfax County Public Schools. And I've always taught middle and high school. And here, like, just because I moved in the middle of the year, I was plopped into an elementary school to plug some holes. And I was like, where are we?
Right.
Like, this isn't, I'm good with the like younger kids and specifically beginners, but it was just this moment of like, whoa, a whole new system. And I was thankfully plopped down at one of my schools, being Annandale Terrace Elementary School, which is the direct elementary feeder up to the high school I am now. And wow, it changed my life. these kids. It is, I'll talk about it more as we go along, but Annandale is just one of the most diverse schools in the entire United States. In fact, 3 years ago, it was like, I think, the number one most diverse school in America.
Wow.
And here at Annandale High School, which the coolest thing in the world is I get to actually like teach some of those fourth and fifth graders that I taught back
Oh,
then.
cool.
Now they're in my program, and some of them I'm writing their college acceptance or their college recommendation letters, which is just mind-boggling. But these kids, like about 80% of our students are on free or reduced lunch, so below the poverty line. And then we have all of these countries all coming together. We have 66 countries represented here, 59 different languages, and students as far as like refugees, so students who just immigrated, some whose families immigrated and they're the first generation born here in America. And then we have students whose parents have always been here. So it's this like really incredible ecosystem that just absolutely changed my life and my entire perspective on teaching and music education.
Now, Annandale High School is just for those listeners who are not familiar. You're in a suburb of Washington, D.C. in Fairfax County. Is that right?
Yes, so Northern Virginia, it's I would say like 20 minutes from DC. And this is this really interesting community that people don't realize exists because you, it's in Fairfax County, which has some of the richest
Right.
schools in America, the most wealthy. And then you have Annandale, which is one of the poorest.
Wow.
And it's just this huge spread. And I have to give props to Fairfax County Public Schools. They have this instrument program called Instruments for All. So every kid who qualifies for free or reduced lunch gets an instrument for $20 rental for the entire school year. So they just pay $20 and they get a quality instrument handed to them that
Oh,
they can
wow.
make music on. It's unbelievable. It's such a great program.
That's amazing. And is that from a music store, or is it a foundation? Like, where did that come from? I've never heard of that. It's amazing.
It's just a part of their funding, from what I understand, like a part of our fine arts funding.
That's
And
great.
the instruments I do know come from a music vendor, and I think it changes every now and then.
Right, yeah.
But I mean, to give students that opportunity and that door opening of just like the accessibility of a quality instrument is just breaks down barriers.
Absolutely. So you've been teaching in the Annandale schools for a while now, or for Fairfax County schools, excuse me. And so what is your gig now? What is your day-to-day like at Annandale High School? What do you teach? All that, the nitty-gritty.
So wow, it changes every year, but now, like full time, it's taken a lot of building. I built the program up from 100 or from 60 students to over 130, closer to 140 next year.
Wow.
And this is my next year will be my 5th year, so this is the tail end of my 4th year right now. So I'm really proud of that and that community. And but now I have just my performing ensembles, my orchestras. Currently have four orchestras, and then I have crescendo orchestra, which is equivalent to the others, but I'm calling that one out specifically because it's my orchestra for students with significant and severe disabilities.
Oh, wow. That's so cool. I love the name.
Yeah, I thought that like it, and it has multiple meanings to it. Like obviously starting off small with small skills and growing more, but it's also more about like life skills and starting out small and connecting with others and coming all together.
Oh, that's fantastic. So now here the million now, over the years, I guess it's been the last maybe 8, 9, couldn't be 10 years, but it feels like it's been around for a while. That the Grammy Awards each year award a music teacher. And I know that when I watch the Grammy, I watch the Grammys every year, and I watched your speech, and I was just so like, oh, this is, it's fantastic. Because music teachers, I think you'll agree, don't always get the recognition that they richly deserve. And you immediately crediting your mentors is just what a music teacher would do. It's a profession that has incredible rewards, between you and the students, but not always the recognition. So how did this whole thing happen? Did somebody nominate you? And then, like, take us through that experience, because I know a lot of people would love to be you know, in that, you know, get similar recognition and maybe even become a Grammy Music Educator of the Year themselves. So if you can describe that process, I'm so interested in how it all worked.
Yeah, it's a multi-round, like multi-step process. And it's interesting that you point that out of like many teachers deserving this recognition. And that's actually like on a personal note, something I've been kind of deeply struggling with where to me, like this award is very much like a group project, right? And my name just happens to be the one that slapped on it. And it's for multiple reasons, right? I credit my mentors for everything that I've learned, but it's also my instructional assistants who are there with me for Crescendo Orchestra, who have, and my occupational therapists who are working with me, and the special education teachers who literally gave me their class slides and like had me stick music notes over it basically and trained me. And this program exists because of them. And the work that they did, and it exists because of the general music teacher down the street that helped me put together some ideas because of her enhanced autism class. It exists because my mom is a general music teacher and me on it. It exists because like, for example, you have the Giving Bach program or United Sound, which has existed longer than I have, who are doing like Best Buddy stuff like this. It and exists for like so many reasons, or like my private lesson teacher. So I really struggle with like with that, but knowing that it's there, and I've been trying to say that in every speech I give or every opportunity of like this incredible work is happening every day in every music classroom. And so many teachers deserve this recognition. So I've been trying to use this platform to really preach the importance of music education, especially when I get to talk to people who are not fellow music educators. So I appreciate you pointing that out. But I was originally nominated 2 years ago by the then Performing Arts Department Chair at Annandale High School, Dr. Mike Ward, who has since left the position and now I'm the department chair. But he nominated me 2 years ago and I made it to the quarterfinalist or semifinalist round, I can't remember. And then I was renominated last year by Dr. Angela Ammerman at George Mason University. And I was also already going to be what's called, they call it a legacy applicant. And then through there, well, it's funny, when the email came through, I thought it was a phishing email.
Of course, we're so conditioned to it at this point.
Yeah. And I saw it and found out that I was going to be going on to the quarterfinalist round again. And I had all of these videos that we had to make. And I looked at it. And at the time I was super pregnant and I just like was so sick the whole time. Like last year was just miserable for me.
Yep.
And I pulled three students aside and I said, hey, I don't talk about this stuff with my students very often or publicly to the classes. Cause I try to keep things focused on them, but I pulled these three students aside and I said, hey, this thing is happening. If you all think I'm deserving of the award, do you mind putting it together? These videos together. And they did. And it's the greatest treasure I'll ever have in my life is that
absolutely
video. To have my students' words speak and share what our program is. Not only do their words mean a lot to me, but it also was a moment where I was like, oh my gosh, they got it.
Yep.
Like, they get what I'm trying to do. Like and it means more to me than the trophy like ever will. But they shared about like our program and what that was. And the media has been really latching on to like the Crescendo portion of things, which is great. And oh my gosh, I'm so excited that they're being spotlighted because everybody needs to have a program like this in the country. But they really shared and talked about what like the day-to-day class was. They showed a lot of like my way that I meet every student where they're at, my instructional practices and things. And they highlighted my parent orchestra, which is, we have an orchestra for parents to learn how to play their kids.
So cool.
Yeah. And that credit goes to Brian Coatney, my mentor. That's his original idea. But it's kind of exploded here. So we have over 200 caregivers who are learning how to play their student's instrument every year with a wait list.
That is awesome.
Yeah. And so from there, like it just kind of kept going. And next thing I knew, they were like, oh, you're going to be top 20. Oh, you're going to be top 10. And then I get this phone call and they're like, oh, you won.
Oh, my goodness.
And it was so funny. They were like, your girls sound so excited for you on the phone. And I've been very trying to like not paint the full picture about like what was actually happening when they were giving me that call. And I was like, oh, I was like playing with my girls when this happened. No, they were both having like a full-on meltdown. Like I'm
Oh,
talking like both the 6-month-old is screaming, the like 2.5-year-old is just like on the floor sobbing.
right. Oh, that's great. Inconsolable, and
Just inconsolable.
you're getting the greatest news ever. That's fantastic.
And they're like, and I hung up the phone and I was like, what just happened?
That is amazing. That is awesome. And so then, and then what? I mean, do they, you get invited to the Grammys, and then you start like this whole press junket thing. I mean, what was that like? Because just I think for all of us, if you're a music person, and you have a pulse, you probably have watched the Grammys at some point, and rooted on your favorite pop hero or country star or rap, whoever it is that you're cheering for. But to then, become a part of the show, if you will, I'd just love to know what that experience was like.
It was absolutely wild, like this weird juxtaposition of everything. And especially like I said this to you before we started recording, but I love connecting with people and just community. And that's really what the entire Annandale program is about connecting and learning from one another. So that's been like the greatest thing that has come of all this is I get to just one, share the Annandale story. And then two, get to connect with other educators and musicians and non-educators and just people. But they told me to keep it a secret, so I did. And all the kids found out. The school put on like a watch party to see if my CBS segment was going to be aired. And the kids were so funny. They're like, Miss Ray, like, what if you don't win? That's going to be so awkward. I was like, well, we're going to get there all together. But to share in that like moment with them, and then they weren't going to get to hear my acceptance speech. So, and I wrote it for them. So I gave it my acceptance speech to them
Oh,
there.
that's awesome.
And then they just flew me out. I literally left right after the CBS segment. I was on a plane. Well, I taught one class and then I went on the plane and everyone was like, of course you would go teach one class. And I was like, they have a
And
concert coming up.
that's perfect.
And so they flew me out, and that was actually my first time away from either one of my daughters for an extended period of time. And so it was this weird thing where my husband and I were like, what do we do with our hands? Like we aren't panicked and stressed getting through the airport right now. What's happening? But they just treated me, the Grammy organization and museum, they just treated me like another celebrity, actually. And it was this
Awesome.
incredible, they went so above and beyond, and they're the kindest people. Like some of the kindest people I've ever gotten to talk to, just their heart, their love of music, the way that they were championing me like through everything, giving me confidence, and just giving me a chance, like a moment to shine. And I'm so grateful to them for that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just I wish there were more awards like this, and your being uncomfortable with it is a testament to the kind of educator you are, which is just giving. And I just in the few 20 minutes or so that we've been talking, I'm already just like, of course she won. This is just such a great story. It is. I wish there were more opportunities for music educators to be recognized like this. I know there's the Teacher of the Year. I won Teacher of the Year one year in my school, and that was a really cool thing. But for I wish that music organizations other than the Grammys, whether it's a district, a county, a statewide organization, I know that like a VMEA, GMEA, they do this type of thing, but in other places, in other countries, they have like award ceremonies. In London, for example, there are the Music Expo. There's a gala, and they award, and it's just like the Oscars, just like the Grammys, where you get up, everybody's in black tie at a really nice kind of event, and you get up, and get recognized. You deserve it, 100%. And I think that every music teacher is not in any way jealous. They're probably cheering you on, saying, this is fabulous that one of us is being recognized. It's just such a great story. But I'm gonna ask like the silly question, the kind of the celebrity person in me that wants it. Did you get to meet any of your heroes? Like, were there any musicians that came up to you and said, thanks for being a music teacher? I'd love to know like that part of it.
Well, I appreciate all that, what you were saying. Like, there's so many teachers that need to be like just shouted from the rooftop. And I'm lucky. I recognize that of being in Fairfax County Public Schools. They made me their secondary teacher of the year last year for all of FCPS. And that's my colleagues applauding me and recognizing that it meant the world, you know?
Absolutely.
But there should be more opportunities for people to be highlighted, or at least at like this level. Like, we do have other awards, but to be given like this sort of prominence to the late, like to non-musicians is been something I've been really contemplating. But I did get to meet lots of great people, including Meryl Streep, who.
Right. I saw your picture with, I think I
yes.
saw.
Yes. Yeah. And where she's holding my hand, actually what she had just finished saying to me was that a music educator changed her life and is the reason she is where she is today. I'm sorry, go ahead.
It's just so cool. I mean, an icon, one of the greatest actresses of all time. Yeah, I'm sure your face was hurting from smiling. It's just like such a cool, cool thing meeting these people, just so cool.
And it was, and most of the celebrities just treated me like another person. Like, I was backstage doing my being given my official like award photos and like having my interview, and then like SZA like crashes my interview and is like, hey girl, like it's just excited to see me. And just getting to connect over like with other celebrities over like also having like a tornado or like having those things. But to meet those people, and I had this moment where I was watching like Dua Lipa perform like feet from me.
Yeah, it's just extraordinary.
One, she's incredible, like, live. I did not know how great of a singer she was. But then I had a moment where, like, I thought I was going to be super nervous meeting all these people. But I was watching her perform, and I was like, oh, she's just a person. Like, I'm having the same emotional reaction to watching her perform like I do seeing anybody perform. Right. Like, right. And it went back to, like, my core concept I've been teaching of, like, music not being our universal language, but the act of music making is, which isn't my concept, as we know, but like it's a huge thing that we're trying to like focus on and talk about, just the humanness of making music. And it was such like a cool shift in my head. Yeah. I mean, I got to also, I'm not sure if you saw, I got a shout out from Jacob Collier, who's like,
yes, that's so cool.
He is just such like a musical icon to me, like the Mozart of our generation, right? Yep. Like our just like an incredible musician that I love, like dissecting his videos with the kids and being like, this is what he's doing and it's so cool. And so I got to meet him in person too, and he was just so kind and lovely.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
so now you have this platform, and I am sure that your schedule is filling up with people wanting you to come to their state MEA conference, to them, go speak. What kinds of things now, because it's almost, it's like an award like Miss America or any of the other kind of iconic awards where you go around for a year as the Grammy Music Teacher of the Year. What does that mean? I mean, is your summer already jam packed with, or do you get time with your kids? What's that all like?
It's this balance of things, right? And it's also this moment of contemplation I've been having of like, what do I do with this platform that's been given to me? How do I make a difference? How do I help the longevity of our profession, the teaching the legitimacy of our profession? So I've really been leaning on actually like trying to focus on not just like music related events, but non-music related things. So I got to really just speak at a Women's Empowerment Foundation. I'm getting to speak at the ASCD annual conference that's coming.
Cool.
So I'm going to be one of the keynotes, which is going to be great, and to get to share with 5,000 educators about like why music education is important. Like I'm going to be throwing out, are we doing the national anthem at like a Nats game soon?
Are you singing, or are the kids playing? What are you doing?
The kids are playing. It was first, I think, spun to me as, can she throw out the first pitch? And my principal came in dying laughing at the idea of that. And so I got them to change their mind to let me do what I do better than throwing a ball. They were like, we can go practice right now. Let's go to the mound. And I was like, no.
Oh, that is cool.
But I'm really contemplating this, right? Like I'm trying to have this moment of like, what do I do from here? And my comfort zone is being on the podium here with the kids. But I also acknowledge like there is a space for me now to advocate, not just for our special education students, but about why music, some of the best music or teaching is happening in the music classroom. All these buzzwords that they're throwing out right now of like meeting students where they're at, all scaffolding, all this stuff. I'm like, we've been doing it. We have been doing that constant feedback. We've been doing this amazing stuff for years. And so I'm trying to actually lean into that side of things, like the advocacy portion of things, but also something very near and dear to my heart right now is being a mother, right? It's been my greatest teacher. Yep. Is becoming a mother. And the unfortunate reality is that our jobs are so emotionally demanding, time demanding, that there's so many people, particularly women, who leave the profession after they have children just because of
it's tough. You don't know. Yeah. I mean, as a dad and watching my wife who runs a huge business and tries to balance it, it's tough. It is very tough.
Yeah. And so one of the things I'm leaning into right now is one of my best friends in the whole world. She also had a baby around the time that I did. And we're hoping to launch like a whole series and community based on supporting this aspect. And advocating for that and giving people really tangible tools. So that's been something really near and dear to my heart because you know what, like it doesn't have to be one or the other. Like it doesn't need to be this black and white thing. It can be right. This yes and thing. Like, yes, I love being a mother and yes, I love being a teacher, and being a mother makes me a better teacher, and working and being a teacher for me has made me a better mother.
Yep.
And that's okay for whatever path people choose. I just don't want women to have to bow out of their profession because we get pigeonholed with how demanding our jobs are.
Here, here.
But yeah, so your answer to everything is, I don't know what I'm doing. My summer is very booked already, but if anyone listening wants to connect and reach out, know my door is open and I'm wanting to be there with people and connecting with people.
Now that's fantastic. Really, just great. And you know, just congratulations. I'm sure you've been told that over and over, but it's just really, it's great. And thank you so much for sharing about that. I'm going to turn the conversation now just briefly before we wrap up to technology. So you are a strings teacher at the high school level. Other than, you know, it sounds like you've been teaching for the majority of your career has been impacted by COVID, I would imagine, or at least in Fairfax County schools. What types of things, I mean, what is your general overall feeling about technology in the orchestra, you know, setting?
I love technology. And I think I was like this weird one. Like, so when like COVID happened, the first thing that I did was I took a week off and then I pivoted my parent orchestra online. Just to try experimenting with things. Cause if I have like, the parents are very forgiving with like, let me try this. And so once I got that going, Fairfax County asked me to start just developing materials based on that for the entire county. So I made, one whole quarter. Or so how many weeks that is, worth of lessons where teachers could just like hit play and just like go.
Oh, that's great.
I decided to look at COVID as not like this, like pause button, but a transformational button. And so I started doing things that like I'd never done before. Like for example, like improvisation, because you know what, like, you know, my students are afraid of improv. They're afraid of making a mistake in front of people. And despite how much like I've trained my students to not be afraid to be like, to make a bad sound and to like learn something new and just go for it. Like that's still like really scary when it's an improvisation session, but when you're by yourself in your room, and no one's listening.
Right.
You're much more likely to launch onto that and to give it a shot. And so I did a lot of improv, like with the students and just exploring that. I did a ton of sight reading with the students. So sight reading factory, the rhythm randomizer, all these things that are like that. And I just brought it when we came back into in-person teaching, I just brought that like along with me of this hybrid of technology and teaching. And when people think like technology, they think it has to kind of like take over your program. And it's not. There's all these like little nuances that you can use to enhance your program along the way. Do you need to dive like fully 100% into like smart music or something like that? Not necessarily, but you can use it as a tool. You can use it as a way to teach your students how to practice. You can use it as a pathway to access more kids. So I'm definitely not afraid of technology by any means.
That's great. And you know, I love that you use the word tool, because that really is all it is. It's just like a baton. It's just like a metronome. It's just like a projector, any type of thing that helps you get your point across. And I love that you did what so many other music teachers did naturally, which was to focus on individual musicianship skills when you couldn't be all together. I think the coolest thing you said is that you basically took your parent orchestra, which I don't know too many music teachers who have one of those, because quite honestly, when I was teaching, I would have been nervous to have those parents. Just personally, I taught in an extremely affluent school district for the majority of my career, and I'm not so sure I would have wanted those. I love them all, but I'm not sure I wanted them in an orchestra. But I love that you use them as guinea pigs to figure out what worked and what didn't work, so that when you were able to work with your kids in some way, shape, or form, you kind of practiced. And probably the parents had a lot more empathy towards what it's like being a teacher in such a crazy world. So I'm really thrilled to hear, Annie, that you did what I was hoping a lot of teachers would do, which is to focus on the individual student. And that's something that technology really lends itself very well to.
Oh yeah. And that's what I like about it, is like going back to that, meeting students where they're at. And the cool thing about those parents going back is like, we have four ensembles. So we have people who have like never touched a musical instrument in their life, all the way up to people who have been with me since 2018 when we started up here, or like played in high school. So it's this really cool range of people.
Right.
So it was great to like experiment with them and be like, did this work? Did this work? Did this work? And that's what I like about technology too. Like you said, it really hits the individual kid. It really lets them like process things in their own way if they use the technology as a tool versus like the be-all end-all. And the reality is when we're meeting students where they're at, like that's where they're at right now.
Yep,
is technology.
Do you use technology at all with your crescendo orchestra?
Off and on. I use a lot of like their devices, like an iPad that they use to speak. And when we were online, I did a lot of them using like their laptops that they can like have touch screen to like drag and like drop answers to. So I would like give them the slides using like Pear Deck or something, and they could like drag their answers around to, like, so I was assessing like all the kids constantly. I've moved away from that more because I'm focusing on like the connection aspect.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like,
absolutely.
Really authentic music making with them, and working with them like one-on-one and being seen. But with like the other groups and ensembles, it's a never ending like open door to it.
Yep.
And the cool thing about it is also like with orchestra or music in general, like the devices are actually put away. Like I am one of the rare teachers in the school who, if I keep them playing, like they're not on their device. I get them. I get 100% them.
Yep.
And so when I am teaching like a new thing, I'll use something like Edpuzzle, right? So I'll teach the concept of the class. Say an example, I'm teaching the circle of fifths. I'll teach it first. Then we break off into groups and they work on the circle of fifths. And then I hammer it home with them doing an Edpuzzle where they watch, like have that technology moment that's like reinforcing, like in a TikTok-esque style video or something like they can really latch onto, and then answer questions. And then I can like really assess their knowledge based on that. So I'm hitting it like three ways.
That's great. I have a random question for you, because you're in Northern Virginia. One of the best kind of people that bridge the two, music technology and, you know, teaching students with special needs, for lack of a better kind of label, if you will. I hate that word. But do you get any interaction with Dr. Alice Hamill at all from JMU, not too far away?
I don't actually, but that's more because I started Well, it's mostly because I'm not like JMU like affiliated. So for a
I
long
got
time,
it,
like
got
this
it.
is like I got like several emails from like professors or people around here. They're like, "Where did you come from? Like,
Exactly.
who are you?"
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Like, I want to highlight that, like, specifically like the Special Education Orchestra. Like I said, a lot of the media has really latched onto that, or like use the words of like I created this orchestra or whatever. And I did, like the curriculum that I'm using in class, like that's all mine. Like I literally have made every single slide and I change it for every day that the kids are in. But there are so many more teachers out there that need to be highlighted who have done this, who, whether it was starting at a similar timeline as me, or like even like long standing for years, like I can't remember. I just saw on Yamaha's like 40 under 40, they just highlighted a band director who was doing that.
Yep.
There's Bethany Hardwick in Texas who is doing this for a similar timeline as me, and she's just fantastic. There's United Sound, there's Giving Buck, there's Interplay Orchestra up here. There's an orchestra already that's been established outside of the schools. Like, and I actually didn't know about several of those when this was happening, but it just shows like the teaching shift, right? Of all these pockets of this like developing independently from each other, of where the music education shift is happening, which is like music belongs to all, it everyone. And that just shows like where teachers' brains are trying to move to reach everyone.
Yeah, it's they're an incredibly special population of students. They were, those kids when I was teaching were the kids I learned the most from,
Yes, yes, yes.
in terms of being a human being, in terms of being a parent. I'm sure it hits you differently now that you have kids, that these kids are extraordinary, that have deal with a whole lot of challenges that other kids may not have to deal with and may never deal with. And you're giving them the way I saw it is I'm they're getting out of that kind of they're forgetting who they are, they're forgetting that they're different, they're forgetting everything when they're in that room with you making music with giant smiles on their faces. I'm sure you see that. I'm sure that's what drives you.
Oh yeah, but it's even more than that. Like you said it best. Like every day I learn more from them than they will ever teach me. And they reshaped so much of my program. Not only Annandale as a whole doing that, like the families inviting me into their community, giving me very authentic learning experiences, trusting me, but also with the Crescendo kids, it really changed where I was like, gosh, like what is this all about? Like, what is music all about? And it's freeing. It's so freeing as an educator to just sit and like and develop this curriculum with them and see like the pure joy of like musicking, of the act of making music, of just being human. And in a day and age like where we have so many like assess like UIL or assessment or like whatever, we so easily lose like why we're doing this. And to like watch these kids just like for the first time start playing together, play every note together and in together in like the victory of that.
And you're sitting there trying not to cry in front of
Yeah,
them.
well, I'm just like, I'm just giddy. I like feed
Right.
off of it. I'm just
Right.
so excited. And then that energy like transfers to all my other classes of like celebrating these very small individual victories for the students. It changed like how I do playing tests. It's changed how I do concerts. It has changed how I've run everything. But there's so many teachers out there who are afraid to start one of these programs because they're afraid of doing it wrong. And so much of our pedagogy and just being musicians is like being perfect all the time. And this is why it's been so freeing to me, is because it made me realize there is no true wrong,
Right.
like with connecting. And so I'll just go in and I go into my instructional assistants or the occupational therapist. I talk to them, be like, I'm trying something new today. It might not work, but we're
Right.
gonna try it. And you know what? 80% of the time it epically fails. And I'm like, okay, I tried that. Well, we're gonna try this other thing next. We're gonna try this new thing. And I'll be like, okay, OT team, like what did you do to like do blah blah blah? And one of them will get so excited and like run out of the room and then like comes back with like a cool like thing she like rigged together, and we try that next. And I encourage teachers who are even like vaguely interested in this to just like free yourself of it. There's no end expectation. It's just about being together and connecting. And that's why like I really say like United Sound and Giving Bach is a great starting point. It's an excellent starting point. And especially with doing the connection between peers, Crescendo is really focused on like the actual like learning how to play their instrument to the best of their their strengths and their abilities.
But
I encourage people, just free yourself of expectation and just allow yourself the openness to be taught and go at a really slow pace and just be humbled by that process.
Annie, I'm going to scrap the rest of my questions because you couldn't possibly have said ended it with a better thought for folks. Your students are so lucky to have you. Your district is so lucky to have you. And the Grammy organization is so lucky to have named you the Grammy Music Teacher of the Year. I can't thank you enough for spending a little time with us today and my listeners to hear a little bit more about you, your program, and the experience with the Grammys. Thank you so much and have a wonderful rest of your school year.
Thank you so much, Jim, and please stay in touch.
I will. Take care.
Thank you for listening to Profiles in Teaching with Technology from Music First. For more information about Music First, please visit www.musicfirst.com. If you would like to stay up to date with other music teachers doing innovative things in their classrooms with technology, please subscribe to our podcast through whatever outlet you listen to podcasts on. Thanks for listening.